Good morning.
Let's just begin with prayer here. Thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to come together here. Thank you for the beautiful day that you have been given. Lord, I pray that as we
go through this service, that we could be attentive, that we could pay attention. I pray that we could learn from the things shared here, and that as we go throughout our week, we could put those things into practice. Lord, I pray for each one here as we go this afternoon to the park. Lord, I just pray that could be a good time and just the time for us to grow together, get to know each other better. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm going to be speaking on this morning are several things that I think are really important, and I know we as people are going to deal with throughout our lives. I want to start off with a few premises, a few things to base what I'm sharing off of. And these things I think are true. I think they're important, and I'm going to share some things that I think can be a help to making these things a reality, if they're not, which they should be. So number one, God wants to use us to work through us, his people here on earth. And two, God wants us to have a purpose and be fulfilled and filling that purpose. And God needs a personal relationship with us to make that possible. So, from these premises, I want to draw a couple questions, and that is just, can God work through me, and do I feel purposed and fulfilled in that? So those are some things we can be thinking about as we go through this. I'm going to touch on three different things that I think are important to these premises, to the questions that we asked here. These three things are humility, faithfulness, and righteousness. And these things have been inspired mostly by reading through the Proverbs and just understanding the different contrasts made there. I think these are all themes kind of throughout the book of the Proverbs. Let's just jump into the first one here, and that is humility. This one, I think, is important and relevant in all of our lives. And I think it directly correlates with God using us. There's one thing we can make clear right from the start, and that is that God hates pride. In Proverbs 6, it says, these six things that the Lord hate, and it names six things. And the first on that list is pride. There's also shedding innocent blood and lying right beside it on that list. And yet it seems like it's one of our biggest problems. It's always there. I think it's one of humanity's biggest vices. There's a lot of things happening around us. We see wars and all kinds of things happening in politics and just even people we know around us. And if you look at those things, a lot of them are motivated by self-love. A lot of those things are motivated by pride. Something I think is interesting, and I think it also shows the importance of this thing, is that in many Bible stories, God will be using people, and sometimes he'll use them for great things, but often he has to humble them before he can use them. And we see this in so many places, but we see it in Jonah. Jonah was told to go to a wicked city and to preach repentance to them. He didn't want to do that. I don't think it was because of laziness. I think it was because he didn't want to go and be looked down on and scorned by all these wicked people. And that's probably what he thought was going to happen. We see this in the story of Nebuchadnezzar, where he was taken from his position, and only when he had humbled himself and acknowledged who God was, he was restored as king. All throughout the Old Testament, the Israelite nation, that was happening many times, where they would go follow different idols and join the people that they were around, and God's message to them was always, humble yourselves and call on my name and I'll restore you. So I think that's a really important thing. I think it's God's the same today as he was then, and if we're a proud people, we're going to be in trouble. We're told multiple times throughout the Bible that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And I'd like to say, like, grace is used in many contexts and for different things throughout the Bible. I think in this particular one, it can mean God working through us. I think where it says he gives grace, that is actually what it could mean here. That verse kind of, I guess, encapsulates what I'm saying here. It's just that for God to work through us, we need to be humble. We need humility. That brings us to our second point, and that is faithfulness. Doesn't seem like quite as big of a thing as you're reading through Proverbs. You don't see it brought out as much. But being faithful where God has us is what I want to look at here. I think this is essential to being fulfilled, to being purposed. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I think there's a shortage of actual faithful men. And we can ask, what does faithfulness mean? I think it means dedication and at times sacrifice. I think being faithful is filling a spot that God has for you. And I know sometimes I've wondered what that spot is. It's hard to know sometimes exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Like, what should we be faithful in? And I think that's kind of a valid question, but at the same time, I think to an extent we all know the things that we should be being faithful and the things that we should be working on. There's a lot of little things. You know, the way we speak, the way we, maybe for some people, it's driving or spending money, spending time. There's things that we can be faithful and that we know we can work on. And my point here is just that God is working on us in different areas at different times. And even if they seem small, I think those things are the things that are going to build purpose in us. I think they're going to build fulfillment in us. If we look in times of persecution or in different countries, even right now, people are being faithful to what they believe, and that is persecution, sometimes dying. We being faithful are not going to face that probably, but there is other things that we're going to have to come up against. And so faithfulness is what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do now. And I think a lot of times it's going to be in those small things. The last thing that I would like to touch on here is the righteous man. And as you're reading through the Proverbs, it's hard not to notice all these different contrasts. But this one, I think, especially sticks out. And it is the righteous versus the wicked man. The desire for righteousness is what I want to speak on this morning. First John 3, I'm going to read a few verses there. First John 3, 7 and 8. I'll read 6, 7 and 8, I guess. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So here we see that through God, we can be righteous. I want to read through Proverbs 11 and just think about the theme there of righteousness versus wickedness. Because as you read through that verse after verse, you see it. I think it just makes us think of where our desires are. So, Proverbs 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just way is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken to their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, they are shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be on the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. So we can see the theme throughout this chapter, really throughout much of Proverbs, that the wicked are going to perish, and the righteous will be delivered. And the question that I'd like to ask us, and I had to ask this myself as I read through this, is, what am I desiring? Am I desiring these righteous things or the things of the world? And this, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. That's Proverbs 21:21. I think searching after righteousness, I think by following after righteousness and allowing God to shape our motives, our desires, I think that is the way that we can be righteous. In closing, I would like to once again ask the question that I had at the beginning, which is, do we want God to work through us? Do we want him to work in us? Do we want to be fulfilled and have a purpose? I think the things that I touched on, which are humility and faithfulness and righteousness, all things that we see throughout Proverbs is kind of a theme. I think they can have an important impact on how we answer those questions and make those things a reality. So I hope those things were encouraging. They were to me. That's what I had to share.